This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man.
There you go.
Now, I appreciate you guys at the bar. If you got a Hey Man Ale, thank you so much. You could have one right now if you come out here to Kennesaw, if you're in the area. We're at the Twin Peaks location, guys. Been out here all day. We'll be here until 7 tonight. A lot of stuff has happened on this show today. And for those who missed Trey Young, his exclusive interview with 92.9 The Game, Andy and Randy, as he was announced as an all-star starter, you will hear that coming up in 15 minutes. So stay tuned for that as Trey acknowledges the fans here in the ATL. And, Mike, as we just talked to Steve Kuhn, and everybody's happy about it. We've been saying it. You know, there's a time to talk about all the negative things and things that we need to fix. But today we've been focused on the positive, and that is that we've got a legitimate star in the making.
Right. And as we said, guys, generally when you're getting to kind of talent like that in today's NBA, your team's going to take a minute. It's going to take a while. Now, this year, obviously, we got a little bit behind schedule with the plan. Steve would be the first to admit that with the John Collins suspension and where we've been with some of the injuries. But it doesn't diminish anything that Trey has done. Trey's a guy you want to see. You want to see him around the country. And it's not just like we had one nerd in his basement going point, click, point, click, point, click. Okay, the rest of the country wants to see Trey Young, and that's why he voted the starter. So, look, national media guys want to do their thing and hammer Atlanta, whatever. This is a guy that is must-see TV. And, oh, by the way, he's a great kid. And you'll hear that in the conversation coming up.
So the Falcons guys, most of the staff, not all, and you'll hear D-Led acknowledge who's not there down at the Senior Bowl, but they are getting ready to, get a chance to watch these kids in action tomorrow. And then, Mike, take those evaluations and all that film work that they've gotten this week and take it back to Flowery Branch and start the evaluation process. The Falcons are putting off all decisions in regards to guys like Devondre Campbell and Hoop and all these guys we've been talking about, with Vic Beasley,
right,
until after the Super Bowl. Now, Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager, did say that this week, that we're going to wait till after the Super Bowl, and we'll let you hear what D-Led has to say about what he thinks we may do at pick 16, because that's currently where we're picking in the draft. But there are, you know, it's almost like you look at the position groups and you say, well, this one's strong this year, and I'm talking about the spring draft in the NFL. This one's not as strong. There are areas of need that we have. Do we address those needs, or do we go with the strong areas where there's the most talent? There's always these philosophies that we talk about when we turn around and we start talking about the draft. But I'll tell you this, man, and you've been saying it, you know, if we're going to be the team we need to be, it starts up front. We've been saying that, and that's why we said last year, I had no problems going offensive line in the first round. The problem was, well, there was no cohesiveness. The guys couldn't stay healthy, and the guys we thought should have been on the field couldn't be on the field.
Right, so we're trying to get, you know, the valuation of what we got with Lindstrom. I think everyone who's listening who's a Falcon fan would say Lindstrom looks the part. He's good to go. Now, Caleb McGarry, that's more of a gray area. You know, D-Led has kind of admittedly been glass half empty with McGarry. Some of that we've kind of chalked up to the fact you didn't have the same guy next to him because there was no continuity, no cohesion. So he struggled at times, and we gave up a ton of sacks. We said 48 sacks on Matt Ryan this year. So you got to find an interior lineman. I'd love to find a guard in the second round. If not with the first second-round pick, that second one we got in the Mohamed Sanu trade from the Patriots. So go get me a guard. There's a starter. Doof. Check that off the list. And now the first, you want to go best athlete. We've talked to guys at the bar. Some guys say, you know, get me another linebacker. Get me a safety, you know. If we can find a defensive end, the only defensive end that checks all the boxes is going to be gone. That's Chase Young.
Yeah.
Everybody else is a bit of a project. If you like Espinosa from Iowa, he's not exactly a freakish athlete. Was it Yadier Matos, the kid from
Penn State?
You know, he looks solid, but there's nobody in the league of the Boses other than Chase Young for that kind of guy, which is what the franchise has needed for a decade.
That's what we've needed. Let's hear from D. Orlando Ledbetter. This interview is online at 929thegame.com. You can also check it out at radio.com, guys. Use the rewind button. But we asked him about what does he think at this point where we're going at pick 16.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I'm always best. Just take the best guy on the board. You don't have everything under control. So you know, whoever's the best guy at 16, take him. If it's the linebacker, the guys that could fit, Kinlaw, Simmons. You know, you got to trade up and go get one of those guys. It's looking like now, but 16's the middle. You'll get a good player at 16. You might as well get something you could use. So we'll see how that works out for him. But yeah, Kinlaw is doing great.
Now, with that said, Mike, and I'm just being devil's advocate here. What if that best player is a wide receiver on the board at 16?
No.
Exactly.
Stop that right there.
Exactly.
A defensive tackle next to Grady. Javon Kinlaw, who just D mentioned, who's looked really good out of South Carolina in the Senior Bowl. I mean, all the guys who played in the Final Four, other than defensive players from Oklahoma, there's guys that you'd be interested in, certainly from LSU and from Clemson and from Ohio State. Those are all guys, which Dog fans, Georgia fans would know, Dog fans, Solomon Kinley. That's another guy. Let's say he knocks it out of the park and he gets up where his stock, just for argument's sake, his stock goes up where he's now a middle first rounder. Yes, there's an athletic guard that can maybe play center someday. He can do it all for you, and plug in next to Jake Long and help Jake. What is the point of all of this if we can't protect Matt Ryan and run the football?
There is none, because, again, the running the ball is my biggest issue, and heading into the offseason and the job that Dirk Cutter is going to do, I think, there's a lot of pressure on Cutter to show us what he's really about. As far as a game plan with the draft, we asked D. Orlando Ledbetter that. Here's was his response, guys, and one of the issues that the Falcons are facing right now, and it's not really an issue. It's not uncommon for head coaches this time of year to be elsewhere and doing things, taking a little time off because they're about to hit it hard as we get back to work. But he says part of the Falcons' game plan is not complete because...
Not really, because Coach Dan's out. I know where he is, but they haven't had those meetings yet. They're still working through their roster. And then, you got free agency first before you can start zeroing in on the draft. So they're just kind of in a holding pattern. They got to figure out what they're doing with the $2 left they have under the salary cap.
The $2.
D-Led saying, guys, you missed that. The $2 we have under the salary cap, we don't have all that money. So if you want to try to plug in, just for argument's sake, guys, yesterday 58% of our audience says you got to keep Austin Hooper. They'd take Austin over Devondre if it came down to just one of the two. And Vic Beasley, of course, was a distant third. As far as Austin Hooper, if you want to go get one of those 30 to 35-year-old tight ends, that's still going to cost you about a mil or two. But that's you could handle a tight end on a discount if you want to start breaking down our most important needs. But we are not going to be big spenders in free agency. We just don't have the coin.
No, we don't.
Unless you consider Devondre, which he is technically, Devondre or Austin, a free agent.
Yeah.
Do you have enough coin to keep him?
So I want to examine something. It is our Falcon Report here on Dukes and Bell. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, great deal for the weekend through the 26th, which is Sunday. You get a large two-topping pizza for just $5.99. So like double pepperoni for less than $6. You can't beat it. Get more than one and get all the details at Domino's.com.
I want to investigate something that I know guys on Twitter and some other social media outlets are coming at you, because we've been talking a lot about Antonio Brown as of late. And you were just telling me in the break that you remember our conversation, and this goes back probably, 2 years now?
Right. And this was one where I had posted. I said, you know what? We're not going to debate who's the best wide receiver. We can't argue. Guys don't want to hear about touchdowns. So I said, we'll decide by height. I said, so it's Julio. I was being snarky on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, one guy did a screen save of it. It's almost 3 years ago. He goes, who you want now, Bill? I go, well, technically, Julio still has 18 more touchdowns to catch up to Antonio Brown. But
yes,
that aside, Antonio Brown now leads in arrests. Antonio Brown now leads in embarrassing situations. And it's just generally being a jackass. So as I told this guy on Twitter, look, I came clean on that back in last year, December of 2019 or 2018, when Antonio Brown quit on his team, didn't remember suit up for the final game of the year. So no one debates. Julio works his butt off. Julio this year, especially when the season, let's be honest, Carl, the season was over. Those games meant nothing. Julio wasn't close to 100%. Moving the chains, as we said yesterday, making the tough catches. So no one debates Julio's toughness, character, and who you'd want overall. Back in the day, now again, in a time machine, did I know that Antonio Brown was as much of a blank hole? Nobody knew that. We didn't realize that Mike Tomlin deserved the Nobel Peace Prize for keeping that locker room together.
Yeah, and if you go down and, look at it chronologically, and you look at how he left Pittsburgh, disaster, goes to the Raiders, and everybody thought it was the rebirth, disaster, gets another shot with New England, disaster, And now he's out of the league, and it's been nothing but off-the-field issues.
Right.
So
he lost $39 million between the Patriots and the Raiders, obviously, when all that blew up in his face.
Exactly. And Mike, I remember, you know, it was a Saturday. I remember because I played well on the golf course. And I'm on my way home, and that whole Antonio Brown thing happened where he's in the backyard, and he's running around. I'm free.
Yeah.
And I said, is this guy crazy? Well, guess what? He is.
Right. I think we'd like to see his brain examined. As a matter of fact, a lot of his ex-girlfriends like to see his brain examined right now. No, that's a joke. But anyway, Carl, the cops, by the way, Antonio Brown, he did turn himself in. They're going to do a psych evaluation, which is probably long overdue, and we'll see what this guy's got going on. But I think we can all agree, Antonio Brown is never playing another down in the NFL.
No, I don't think so either. Speaking of that, here's the latest, by the way, if you're just joining us, about Antonio Brown. We talked about it in our NFL Blitz segment, but we know it's a big show, 5 hours, and we hope you listen every day, all day, but some of you don't have that opportunity. Mike, he turned himself in on those three charges, and Antonio Brown now has got an ankle bracelet, and you said it, some kind of Kevlar vest that he's got around his chest.
Well, they're calling it a suicide vest, so it prevents you from, like, if you're going to try to get a sheet or something around whatever you got there in lockup. And like, we're not going to be joking around about mental illness.
No,
this guy's got legit, I think, my God, he's got some issues he needs to get worked out. We were wondering when he's going to hit rock bottom. Well, throwing rocks at the Allied van driver was not the idea, but now he's in the hoosegow, so maybe now the light switch goes on. Either way, the NFL investigation, by the way, they are slow rolling the hell out of that. They still have no resolution on that with the alleged ex, the ex-girlfriend, the things that she alleges, and the artist who stayed at his house. So either way, Antonio Brown, I just think, no way, done. Never going to see this guy again in the league.
Who takes a chance on him? I mean, I don't. You don't. I don't think there's a general manager that would put his job on the line to say, hey, we're gonna take a shot at him. And I know what guys are thinking. Well, it'd be cheap. It's not worth the headache.
Oh, by the way, the Pro Bowl continues, and since the Pro Bowl is there, the media gets a chance to ask some of the stars questions about all the things that are going on in the NFL. Roger Goodell came up. A lot of guys are kind of mums the word about discipline. No one's really talking about that. But the issue they are talking about, and we've brought this up before, we're not trying to be wise butts, but the NFL and the negotiating that's going to go down between the owners and the Players Association, marijuana testing is going to come up. And the players, a bunch of them responded to that down in Orlando today.
And I'm sure, again, it's a
they're all for at least loosening up, obviously, the restrictions and the penalties for a positive test for weed.
It's a delicate situation only because, again, as a player, you don't want to be the guy, whether you're using or not, to be in the forefront and the face of this argument, Mike, saying, I think it should be allowed, and all players in the league should be allowed to do what they want. The league, here's the delicate part about the league. They want to uphold the law, but they also know that the opinions of this have completely changed.
Well,
and so they're kind of caught because they understand that a lot of guys in the league do use, and they use for pain management. We've talked about it. Do you prefer guys to pop pills or you want them to do this? That's what players would tell you. The NFL says, wait a minute, it's not legal in all states. I don't want to get caught up in this. So it's going to be a tricky
deal. Yeah, but you just said it. It's now legal, and we're getting close to a third of the states in the nation. Well, eventually we'll be there by the next – there's a few more states that have it on the books. Regardless, 59% of players down at the Pro Bowl answered a definitive no about the NFL should be testing for marijuana, and should they get that on the books in the new CBA. And the only reason I bring this up is – the NFL owners don't want to do the 50-50 split the players union want. But remember how the players got their last deal? We talked about this. You heard Randy talk about it on the Midday Show. They came to the players and said, hey, no more two-a-days. And the guys go, okay. And they gave up percentage points that the NBA players get. So I don't know if they're going to be that short-sighted this time, but if the carrot on the stick is weed, apparently, according to at least the Pro Bowlers, it carries some weight.
I think, to me, and I'm curious to see what the Players Association says about this. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report, guys. Coming up, you will hear Trey Young and his exclusive interview on 92.9 The Game. My biggest thing, Mike, is rookie deals. If I'm a guy that's
Yes. 4 years,
if
so you get three of the four-year
option. And I'm a first-round pick, I don't want to wait 5 years, Mike, to get my first big deal. I know teams can negotiate earlier than that, but most teams don't because they don't have to.
Right. You don't want to see, I mean, the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott, he's outperforming that contract. You know, in the case of the Chargers, it really hurts the fans because your ownership's so cheap, they're not going to come correct with their running back. So here's the deal. You just laid it out. Maybe we'll see marijuana out there as a bargaining chip, 4 years instead of five for the first year. And then, of course, Carl, the profit sharing. Are the owners willing to give the players the piece they weren't willing to give them back in 2011? Hey, one last nugget, guys, with the Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's. We all know, Carl, 28-3 makes everybody go, yeah. I mean, we all get the feeling. Guess what the prop bet is on the 49ers?
What's that?
You can bet in New Jersey and now Las Vegas at 100-1 that the 49ers blow a 28-3 lead.
Oh, stop it.
It's out there.
Come on.
The prop bets are out there. You get even money for Mahomes as the MVP. But, yeah, there's a couple of websites now that have it at 100-1. For those of you not familiar, you bet 1,000, they blow a 25-point lead, you made 100 grand.
Would you take the bet?
Sure. I love those prop bets. You know me. I'm a big fan of prop bets.
Hey, man, coming up.
Just to remind the listeners, we were going to make a significant amount of money if we had just not blown the Super Bowl.
Don't remind
$19,000 between the two of us.
Don't remind me. All right, come
on.
Trae Young, you will hear what our all-star has to say on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on radio.com. Coming up at around 6 o'clock, guys, our three-piece suit football guys are in the building. They're here at Twin Peaks. Cameron, Joff, these guys are out here dressed up. And you're going to get a chance to see these guys in action, and we'll tell you more about it. That's going to be the Saturday before the Super Bowl right there on the Beltline. All right, that's coming up at 6. But right now, we want you to hear Trae Young. He joined 92.9 The Game exclusively today with Andy and Randy to talk about being named a starter in this year's NBA All-Star Game. First thing they asked him was, how has his last 24 hours been?
Man, it's been a kind of surreal. I mean, 12 hours for me. I mean, just being announced as an all-star starter, it's been a blessing. I think for me, being back home in Oklahoma and being able to represent Atlanta, I think God's plan, I mean, came to fruition. I think he planned for all this to happen, for me being able to be back here, be back home with family, and then to be announced I'm going to Chicago to represent Atlanta is a blessing, man. I'm truly blessed. Man, it's been a kind of surreal. I mean, 12 hours for me. I mean, just being announced as an all-star starter, it's been a blessing. I think for me, being back home in Oklahoma and being able to represent Atlanta, I think God's plan, came to fruition. I think he planned for all this to happen, for me being able to be back here, be back home with family, and then to be announced I'm going to Chicago to represent Atlanta is a blessing, man. I'm truly blessed.
And that was my favorite part, Trae, is watching that video, because just like you said, it's fate that you happen to be back at your hometown with your family and for you to get this announcement. And I know you hear everything. When did you realize this was a possibility that I could be a starter in the All-Star game?
I mean, you hear all these things throughout the year. I think for me throughout this whole season, I think people have said I'm an All-Star. Some people said I'm nowhere close. I've heard it all throughout the whole year. So for me, I just wanted to continue to try to find a way to help my team win and do that. And then I knew it all come out the way it was supposed to, and I think it did.
All-star starter Trae Young joining us on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here. And, again, I know you mentioned it. I don't know if everyone knows this. You guys are getting ready to play the Thunder tonight, so you're back home. Like, you're surrounded by family on what has to be one of the most incredible days of your professional career thus far. What, if anything, has a family member said that stood out? Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's somebody else that you're close to over the last 24 hours about getting this honor that's really meant something to you.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've gotten a lot of texts from a lot of people, and I'm very appreciative of everybody who's hit me up or tweeted me or reached out to me. But just seeing my family, and for me, seeing my little brother, being able to be there. I mean, he doesn't like being a very emotional guy. He likes being a tough guy around Big Brother, but. Being able to see him, I mean, give me a hug and tell me how proud he is of me. And he's only been that way one other time, and it was the draft. And for him to be that way and be able to see what I'm going through, I want him to be able to be here and see this with me, because I want him to have this feeling someday too. So being able to see him and have him be around me throughout this was special.
And Trae, the Atlanta Hawks, they've had all-stars, but nobody's been a starter in this game since 1998. How special is that for you to represent this city that beloves you in that kind of way?
It's special. It's awesome. I know about all the great players that have been in Atlanta, played for the Hawks, and to be mentioned in that all-star group, and to be even a starter with, I think the last person was Mutombo. That's special, and being able to talk to Dominique after I got I got announced as a starter was awesome, and just having great role models and great guys that that still come back to Hawks games that I get to talk to, and legends in my eyes, be mentioned in that type of group is great.
What did Dominique say when we found out last night that you're going to be a starter?
Oh, he congratulated me. Just told me how much I deserved it, and how much he's continuing to pull for me, and that's really basically all he said, and just wanted me to keep going, not to stop. And I mean, for me being in my second year, he wants me to continue to keep going and tell me I have many more. So it's awesome coming from a legend.
I got a question for you. Cause last year we saw you in the skills competition and everything. That was awful. Now you won the big dogs, Trey. I mean, you won the big dog. Now you know, you get to do the fun thing, the fun intros and everything. Are you going to do any skills competition? And what team would you prefer to go to?
I don't know. That's tough. I don't know what team I'd want to be on. I mean, Giannis is great. LeBron is obviously the big bro to me. He's great too. I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna be happy regardless what team I'm on, to be honest with you. But I mean, yeah, I'm gonna be a part of all three days, and we'll see how each day goes. I'm just gonna go and spend my All-Star break at All-Star weekend, so that's how I'm gonna enjoy it.
Trae Young joining us here the day after he's announced as an All-Star starter. He's going to be starting in the All-Star game in his second season, first Hawks starter since Dikembe Mutombo. Has any of this surprised you? Like, I know you're confident. I know you came in highly drafted, had great success in college, but has there been any moment where it's just like, dang, like, I can really do this. Like, this is truly more than I expected it to be. Has there been anything that sort of knocked you back over the last couple months?
Man, it's crazy. It's crazy to say. I mean, in some people's eyes, not mine, but, like, I have so much confidence that when I'm on the court, I mean, I feel like I'm the best player on the court regardless of where, what night it is. And that's just my confidence, and that's just how I've always been growing up. And for me, that's how it's gonna stay. But for sure, after games, if I have a big play on whoever it is, I mean, after the game and I'm back in my house, sometimes I'm like, okay, all right, that's kind of crazy. But whenever I'm in the moment, when I'm in the game, I'm in the competition, I mean, nothing surprises me because I work too hard to have anything surprise me.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, man.
Again, nothing but pride from us and everybody here in Atlanta. Can't wait to see you in the starting lineup in that All-Star game, and can't wait to see the performance that you put on when you get there. Congrats, Trey.
Congrats, Trey.
Oh, appreciate it. Appreciate it. I want to thank everybody who voted for me, all the fans in Atlanta. I'm looking forward to going out and representing Atlanta, the Hawks, and just going out and putting on a show for everybody in Chicago. And thank you guys again for having me on.
Very cool, man, as you hear. Again, exclusive interview with Trae Young with Randy and Andy earlier today. I know we've played it early, but we had a lot of guys and gals getting in their car.
Yep.
Get a chance to hear that. And it's it just, as we said, just reinforces how cool the guy is, how rootable, how likable he is. And that now translating around the rest of the country, at least certainly with Eastern All-Star voters who made him the starter.
Yeah, and, you know, Trae has been so humbled through this process. You know, if you watch him, the way he conducts himself, more importantly, the way he puts out social media, it is all about team and being positive. And, you know, he's just soaking in the moment, man. And I like the fact that we have a star, Mike, that we've said this. We can build around.
Right.
I don't know where this goes. I'm not guaranteeing you guys or any, you know, Hawks fan a championship. But this is the start of the process. What we needed in this city. How long have we said it, Mike? We need a star. We don't have an attraction. Right. We need a star. Well, we got one.
And it's not Taco Fall.
It's not Taco
Fall. You got Julio and obviously the guys you love on the Falcons. Certainly with the Braves, you've got Acuna and Albies and all these other guys. And Freddie's already been here, now the young pitchers. And now with Trey, we just got to build around it. No, John Collins, man. John is doing a great job. Eventually, I will stop being angry at him over the suspension. Not there yet, Carl. But to see what kind of moves we can make to build around this and get to that next level the way that the Golden State kind of did it. But the idea that you've got a guy. And this also, people always say, we hear it all the time. nobody wants to come to Atlanta. Well, Trey makes buddies with people at the All-Star game and maybe convinces somebody when they're a free agent to come. It sounds silly, but now guys want to play with guys they know. That's the NBA nowadays.
It is true. All right, coming up, we got Guy Talk, guys, and we got some interesting stories.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about what's going on with the Saints. It's a creepy story out of New Orleans. We'll get to that. But on the much lighter side, you know, Tinder. A lot of guys use Tinder. A lot of guys at the bar probably using Tinder. And, you know, swiping right. Tinder saves a woman's life in Europe, Carl. I've got that story. It's more than just scoring. It's saving lives.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah. Yes.
We are live at Twin Peaks. We're going to get to some Guy Talk here. Big shout out to a couple of our listeners, man, that you mentioned, Mike, some regulars that have come out. I haven't seen this guy, man, since before Christmas.
Hey, what's up, Big Daddy?
And he said, man, I was listening to you guys every day. Appreciate what y'all do. I said, no, thank you, because he's got a Hey Man L.
Hey, we got guys sampling Hey Man for the first time. We got our buddy from the boats over here. We got to get this guy's trying to sell us a $200,000 boat.
Yes, he is.
We'll pass the hat and get that going. Also, we've got our guys, our regular suspect. We got Coach. Coach is here every time we're here. And now we got two guys commiserating here about the Falcons' shortcomings. So they can do their own podcast right now. We'll call it Misery Loves Company. Right here at the bar.
Richard Hunter, you're going to give me a good deal on a boat, right? Yes, sir? Okay. Just want to make sure.
Outstanding.
All right, man. Let's get to some Guy Talk.
All right, guys. We already covered Antonio Brown, and that's actually now kind of crossed over from funny to pathetic. So he's going to get out of jail, and we'll see where that goes. Doing a psych evaluation. Wonder what they're going to find.
It's Mike, to me, it is sad. I mean, honestly, you're on top of the world. You're one of the best players at your position. You're making all the money you can make. You know, he got – literally, remember, when he went to the Raiders, they ripped up his deal.
Right.
He got a brand-new deal. And now you look at him and you go, well, what's going on? So I don't know,
but
man.
But the latest situation, if you read the – I think it was Sports Illustrated, kind of had the definitive piece on Antonio Brown when
and
the wheels came out.
His personality.
He likes to order things and then not pay for them.
Yeah.
It's kind of been, you know, people work for him, do work, stay with him at the house, and then it's time he doesn't pay them. The Allied van truck shows up. The bill is $4,000. He goes – not paying. And then he starts throwing rocks at the truck, and then all hell breaks loose. So there you go. If nothing else, there is a pattern. All right, I found this out today. Interesting story in the LA Times. Remember the movie Wolf of Wall Street?
Of course, one
we
of my
all
favorites.
Enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Now, the guy it's based on.
I ain't going nowhere.
Now, DiCaprio makes one of the worst people on Wall Street. Really seemed charming and charismatic. It's a funny as hell movie. Jordan Belfort himself is a turd. The guys that he went to produce the story of his life. He's now suing them.
Oh.
Turns out these guys are, my God, unscrupulous.
You mean like he was?
Exactly. Belfort is suing for $300 million against Red Granite Pictures and their CEO, Riza Aziz, saying he had no idea they financed the film with millions of dollars stolen from the Malaysian government.
Oh, jeez.
Which apparently they did because they owe money in Malaysia. Meanwhile, as you read the rest of the story, Belfort ripped off, obviously, people for hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, in the pump and dump stock scheme.
I ain't going nowhere.
Well, the movie itself did make a ton of movie here in the U.S. It made almost like $600 million around the world. Well, guess what? The government, Uncle Sam, made $60 million off the Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, wow.
Because he cannot profit off of this stuff until he pays off all his debts. So they actually, from the guys he's now suing, got $60 million from the 392. Worldwide, that's what I said.
So he sells his story. Basically,
correct.
They make a movie, and
right.
He gets jacked.
Correct.
Wow.
That was supposedly. So the irony, though, is not lost on the attorneys from the folk he's suing. Going, the producer's attorney shot back, Belfort's lawsuit is nothing more than a desperate and supremely ironic attempt to get out from under an agreement that he made with the federal government. Isn't that great?
That is awesome.
Hey, man, earlier today in Switzerland, Julianne Hough. You know who Julianne Hough is?
Give me what she looked like. What she looked like.
Attractive blonde, Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of cute.
Yes.
Well, you know, celebrities are into their fitness thing and all these different regimens, and we kind of laugh because it seems a bit crazy. Well, anyone's gone to a chiropractor, you know, you get the release when they pop your body and it feels great. Apparently, this chiropractor that she's going to, who apparently is like at a whole other level, named Dr. John Amaral, and this was one of these World Economic Forums where all these different people come together. Some are kooky, some are legitimate business opportunities. And this guy apparently did an adjustment on Julianne Hough, and she started making strange noises, and then she started going into convulsions that have been described as looking like The Exorcist.
What?
Apparently, it's some form of energy release. We have some audio. Take a listen.
And there's always a huge dissipation of energy and a feeling of relief, release, freedom. Expression of emotion may happen when the system moves. When energy that was stored or bound up in the muscles begins to dissipate.
So that's Julianne Hough having an out-of-body experience.
That's one way to put it.
You've got to see the video. Her butt goes up in the air. She's going into convulsions. She really does look like Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
Oh,
so, again.
That's gold.
This is a Dancing with the Stars star. The doctor, as we said, is.
Now, Mike, is this a put-on?
No, apparently this guy is the go-to energy worker, quote-unquote, for celebrities, pro athletes. He made his bones working with Tony Robbins,
okay.
So it's got to be legit.
All right.
Anyway, several Instagram users have seen the video, and they said upon viewing this video for the 45th time, that is, in fact, a demon coming out of her butthole, said comedian Heather McMahon. What the blank? This is not real, another person commented. I'm not sure what's going on here, but it seems like we need a priest. Anyway, you can go online, just look up Julianne Hough and exorcism, and that's what you'll see.
I've felt the pressure release. I've never had anything like that happen in my life.
For the guys at Life College, this is apparently like Cairo on steroids. Craig, for the folks at the bar who want to hear it one more time, here is a doctor explaining the process as Julianne Hough reaches another level
of
consciousness.
Don't do it.
And there's always a huge dissipation of energy and a feeling of relief, release, freedom. Expression of emotion may happen when the system moves.
And when you see the video of her doing the gyrations, it's really something
special.
Listen,
if you would have come across that and have seen that
take place,
I wouldn't have thought it was real.
No, and now you know the rest of the story. Hey, we talked about Eli Manning had an emotional press conference today up in New York where he talked about all the things that he accomplished and said, look, I know at first might have rubbed people the wrong way. He wasn't the most vociferous guy, as you talked about yesterday. Michael Strahan said, team already had leaders. One of the more interesting moments in the press conference, because Derek Jeter is good friends with Eli Manning, and he's just going to the Hall of Fame. They asked him about what he thought of Jeter, and Eli goes, well, what's there to say? He's the greatest. He starts looking around the media. He goes, I'm just wondering, which one of you guys didn't vote for him?
That's a great line.
So Eli getting it in with the New York media. Speaking of Manning, Eli's brother Peyton was doing an interview, and he was asked about Eli. They asked Peyton Manning, who are your three favorite quarterbacks? Who do you think Peyton's three favorite quarterbacks would be?
Peyton Manning's three faves. All right, so let's go. I'm going to go Montana's in there?
Nope.
Johnny Unitas?
Nope.
Terry Bradshaw?
Nope.
Roger Staubach?
Nope.
His brother?
That's one of them. Well, again, you've left out his dad, Archie. He had to watch his dad run for his life in the Superdome all those
years. Of course,
his
dad is one of his favorites.
So Peyton goes, I'm happy for Eli. I know he's at peace. He's put a lot of time through this, making the decision about retirement, but I am sad. I won't get to see him play anymore. He goes, after my dad and Dan Marino, Eli was my favorite quarterback.
Okay.
So there you go. How about that?
Well, you know what? That's pretty impressive because he did some Marino-like things in his career.
Right on. Hey, man, today is the 24th of January. A celebrity birthdays today. Neil Diamond is 79. Are you a fan of Neil Diamond? Is anyone at the bar a fan of Neil Diamond?
There are some people clapping right now.
Most boring concert I've ever been to in my entire life.
Neil Diamond?
Neil Diamond years ago at Phillips Arena. A girl in our office goes, oh, my God, it'll be like kitschy. It'll be fun. We'll all go see Neil Diamond. And I wanted to eat a bullet about halfway through.
I understand.
Yeah.
He's been around so long.
Right.
You know, he's a worldly entertainer.
I'm sure younger Neil Diamond would have been more entertaining. Seeing Neil Diamond was like the Hall of Presidents at Disney World, you know.
True.
They're coming to America. It wasn't happening. Also today, Ed Helms did a great job in The Office and also in The Hangover. First Hangover was great. Other ones, not so much.
I agree.
But Ed Helms, he's actually from Atlanta. He turns 46 today. All right, on this date, Carl, in 1848, what happened? On this date in 1848.
I know what was not happening.
Well, that's true. That would be a few more years.
Yes, I know what was not happening.
But it actually ties in with the Super Bowl, and bear with me.
All right.
On this date, the 24th of January, 1848, gold is discovered by a guy named James Marshall in Sutter's Mill in a town called Coloma, California, northwest or northeast of Sacramento.
The gold rush?
The gold rush. So if you made your way out to San Francisco, by the time the word, of course, got to the east, And by the time they got out there, you were now a 49er.
That's right.
So there you go, a minor 49er and his daughter Clementine. On this day in 1935, beer in a can for the first time.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah, man. It was done by the Krieger Brewing Company. It was Krieger's finest beer, Krieger's Cream, in Richmond, Virginia. Not in Milwaukee, not in St. Louis.
Everybody thinks it's Milwaukee.
Yeah, I didn't know that one either.
Yeah.
And then finally, Carl, on this day in 1972, there was a Japanese soldier in Guam. And this is 28 years after World War II ended, and they found him hanging in the jungle. He was out there just running amok for 28 years. They had to convince him. They had to bring in folks from the embassy to say, the war is over, my friend.
28 years later.
1972, he's out there wearing a tattered uniform in Guam.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes back to Japan as a national hero and eventually does get married and all that. But how about that for dedication?
That's dedication. That is Guy Talk, guys. Great job. And coming up, we've got the top three at six. We're also going to let you hear our conversation with D. Orlando Ledbetter about the Falcons and what they're doing down there at the Senior Bowl. But next, three-piece suit football. You don't know what it is? Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
They're going to attack Squidbilly.
And at radio.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.